الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كثر سواد قوم فهو منهم أو كما قال صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, each and every person has certain priorities in his life. And he knows and recognizes that in carrying out his obligations and carrying out his priorities, in that is his success. And if he diverts from his path and he does not carry out his obligations in a correct manner and he does not prioritize what needs to be given priority to, then he is going to be experiencing problems. A very, very simple example is that of a businessman who toils and he works hard the entire month. He buys and he sells, he buys and he sells, or he takes goods and he sells it. And like that, the entire month he works very, very hard. And come the end of the month, he finds that he has a lot of cash. Now he has one of two options. On the one hand, he sees this money and he looks at all his dreams and his aspirations that he has. He wanted to do a certain thing in his home, a certain upgrade. He wanted to upgrade his vehicle. He wanted to upgrade the latest techno gadget. But together with that, he sees in front of him a stack of bills that need to be paid. The light, the water, the rent. And together with that, the goods that he had purchased. So he's faced with these two options in front of him. And if he does not choose wisely, and if he does not prioritize what is his obligation at that time, rather than fulfilling the need of the time, that is attending to all the bills that are at hand, he goes to the contrary. And he abuses that money, he wastes this money, and a time is going to come when those obligations are still going to be pending. And they are going to come for him. And it's not going to get less, it's going to get more. This month he shirked from it, he turned away from it. Next month is going to be double. And a time will come when now his suppliers will eventually pull the carpet from beneath him. So that is a person's priority in life. As a businessman, that is his priority. And he needs to carry it out upon his appointed time in the correct manner. Friends and elders, just as how a businessman has his obligations and his priority, like that each and every believer, each and every reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, also has his priority and his obligation. And no matter what condition he might be in, no matter what place he might be in, no matter what time of the year he might be in, that obligation is still there. And a person cannot turn away from it. Yes, different attractions will come. Different forces will come. Different temptations will come in front of a person. But at every second of his life, a Muslim, a believer should understand that I have my priority. And my priority, my duty is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown to me by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every aspect of my life should be in conformance with deen, with shariat. Yes, friends and elders, like how we have reached this time of the year, when majority of the people of this country are on a break away from their work, Islam also recognizes there is a need for a break. There is a need for a person to take a holiday, a change of environment. A person requires some physical rest. He requires some mental rest. He requires a change in climate, a change in environment. Throughout the year, he is stuck in the same place, doing the same things at the same time. And now he wants a change from it. And yes, there is this. In Sharia, there is allowance for it. That a person changes his place. He has a change in whatever he is doing. But friends and elders, this cannot come at the expense of one's priority. If a person takes a break, there is a need to take a break. But he must not take a break from Islam and Deen. If a person takes a holiday, he cannot take a holiday from Salah. That obligation still stands. And this is explained very, very clearly in that incident that we know regarding Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Two great sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made them like brothers. Ukhuwat, they were made brothers. So Hazrat Salman Farsi goes to visit Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he goes, Hazrat Abu Darda firstly presents a meal in front of him. So Hazrat Salman Farsi tells Hazrat Abu Darda to first consume from the meal to eat. Hazrat Abu Darda declines and says that no, he is fasting. So Hazrat Salman Farsi mentions that I will not eat until you eat. And he insists from Hazrat Abu Darda to first begin eating. Now Sharia allows when a person is fasting, then in order to honor a person's guest under certain conditions, it is permissible for a person, if it's a nafil, non-obligatory fast, then there is that leeway in Sharia for a person to break his fast, provided that he keeps the qaza thereafter. The qaza now becomes compulsory upon him. So Hazrat Salman Farsi now requests from Hazrat Abu Darda that he will not eat until Hazrat Abu Darda first eats. So Hazrat Abu Darda ate, and thereafter Hazrat Salman Farsi ate with him. And thereafter, when the night was still very, very young, the beginning portion of the night, Hazrat Abu Darda tells Hazrat Salman Farsi to go and sleep, and he wanted to begin engaging in ibadat. So Hazrat Salman Farsi stops Hazrat Abu Darda and tells him that you also go to sleep. You also go to sleep. So the two of them go to sleep, and this was in the first portion of the night. In the middle portion of the night, Hazrat Abu Darda wakes up. Hazrat Salman Farsi tells him that continue sleeping. And now in the third portion of the night, now Hazrat Salman Farsi tells Hazrat Abu Darda that yes, now you may wake up. And the two of them together now engaged in salah and in ibadat. And thereafter Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu advises Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu that everything in life has its priority. إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. That everything in life has its priority. It has to be given its due. But first on that list is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First on the list is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. But everything else also has its time, has its place, has its due. And definitely, if a person takes out time, especially in this time of the year when a person is free, and he was unable to do it throughout the year, he takes out time to take his family out to a place. One is to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also very, very important is that the place that a person is going to must be a conducive imani environment. Not an environment where the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being broken on a mass scale. not an environment where there is nothing that resembles, or there is nothing in that environment. There is no one that is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala environment. The orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that earns the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. Definitely a person should refrain from an environment like that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith that the differences between the two types of environment, on the one hand you get the good environment, is like the example of a person who goes to a musk seller, an itar seller for our understanding. He goes to a perfume shop. One of three things might occur. One is a person might go in the shop and the seller might give him some samples, offer him some samples, put it on his hand, and like that he will enjoy the fragrance, enjoy the goodness that is in that store. Or he might purchase some itar and thereby enjoying the fragrance. Or he won't put anything on his body, he won't purchase anything, but just by him merely being there, that shop has a nice smell. Perhaps there might be something burning that will give a good smell, and automatically now he'll become affected by that. But just being in that good environment, by just being in that conducive environment, he automatically now becomes affected by what is taking place there. And on the contrary, may Allah protect us and save us all. If a person goes to a blacksmith, a person who is involved with smoke and fire, then one of three things might also occur. One is, he might harm himself. The sparks of that smoke might fly and burn his clothing, or touch a part of his body and might injure him. Or if that does not occur, then the least is, he will come out from there, his clothes might be soiled, and the smell of that fire, that black, dark smoke, that the effects of that will be upon him. So that is how an evil environment can affect the iman of a person. That just by being there, even if he's not part of it, but just by his mere presence there, we find that in the incident of the book, the book expedition as it is known, it was a very, very difficult journey. The Sahaba, it was at such a time when their fruit, their dates were ready to be picked from the tree. It was a time of great qurbani. The summer was setting in, and now the call had come for them to go out and strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With very, very limited resources, the Sahaba went on this journey, a long, arduous journey, 700 kilometer journey. And as they are going on this journey, Allah Ta'ala talks about it in the Quran Majid, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ. Quran talks about this journey as the hour of difficulty. A very, very difficult journey because of the excessive heat and their lack of provisions. And now as they were passing by, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were moving. A Jamaat had gone ahead. They had no food, they had no water. So they were passing by this area of Hijr, wherein this nation of Thamud was destroyed. Not hundreds, but thousands of years prior, this entire nation of Thamud was destroyed. They had earned the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Rabbul Izzat, Azab descended upon these people and they were destroyed. So this group of Sahaba go ahead and they see this well here. So they take some water and some of them even began making their dough so that they could bake their bread. And when this information reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi wa sallam instructed them that do not consume, do not drink from that water. Throw that water, discard of it. And even that dough that you are about to make, or that bread that you are about to bake, do not eat from that. لا تدخلوا مساكين الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين. That do not go into those places, or do not go into those areas where people had committed wrong upon themselves, except in this condition that you are crying, you are fearful, you are worried. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed by that area, Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam covered his Mubarak head, lowered himself on his animal and hastened through that area. Azab came upon that area not at that time, but thousands of years before. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed the Sahaba that do not even go in that area. And when you do go out of some necessity, they had no other way. This was the route to Tabuk. They had to pass by this way. It was on the route. They did not specifically go to see that area, but hastened in that area. And you must go in such a condition that you are crying and worried. Why? أَيُّسِيبَكُمْ مِثْلَ مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. That which befell this nation, that azab, that punishment that came upon this nation must not befall and come upon you also. And in that condition, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by that nation of Samun. So friends and elders, let us bring it into today's time. This was azab that fell many, many years ago. But what about that those places of vice, those places where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place live, is taking place currently. Parties, New Year's parties, whatever other types of parties that are taking place now, whatever other types of celebrations that are taking place, how often you'll pass by this time of the year, and many, many offices are holding year-end functions and year-end parties, and everything flows, halal and haram flows in those year-end functions and parties. We should be very, very careful about this. And be afraid. إِيَّاكَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةِ فَإِنَّ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ حَلَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ. Azab fell many, many years, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Sahaba, they don't go near there also, or hasten through there. And yeah, we are involving ourselves in places where people are committing wrong on a mass scale, currently in life. How much more careful we have to be in staying away from those places. So Shariat has given this concession for a person to take a break, for a person to take a holiday, or rather Shariat has encouraged a person to take a holiday. But this holiday should not come at the expense of one's iman and deen. Like a person is performing salah, he's punctual upon his salah the entire year, 5 times daily salah, and where he's able to, he performs it with jamaat in the masjid. May Allah protect us, may Allah save us. We find that when this time of the year comes, now he becomes neglectful of his salah. He must not be like that, where he says that the place I'm in, or the environment, wherever I am, it's not easy for me to perform salah. So he goes home in the night, or wherever the place he's staying, and now he performs the entire, makes qaza of the entire day's salah, he performs it in the night. Oh, may Allah save us. He discards it completely. So this should not be the condition, and this should not be the situation. Wherever a person might be, he should be conscious of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Allah is well aware. Another incident that is recorded in the books of ahadith of how environment affects a person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions of a person, kana fi man kana qablakum, that there was a person in the years that passed by. He had killed 99 people. And after killing these 99 people, now it struck him that he is doing something wrong, and he wanted to repent, change his ways. So firstly, he goes and inquires around, and he was directed towards a rahib, a monk, of, according to our understanding, a priest. So he goes to that person, and he inquires from him that I have killed 99 people. Is there any way out for me? Are the doors of repentance open for me? So this person advises him wrongly and tells him, no, your crime is very, very serious. There is no way out for you. Now this person even kills him and completes 100. But thereafter someone directed him to a knowledgeable person. So he goes to the knowledgeable person and he tells him that I have killed 100 people. Is there any way out for me? So this knowledgeable person tells him, yes, there is a way out for you. The doors of Tawbah, the doors of repentance are open to everyone. But he gives him a condition. He says that this area that you are in, where you have committed your crime, this is an evil area. This is an area where you have committed all your sin. Move away from this environment. Come out from this evil environment and go into a certain land where there are pious people that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And go to that land and you will be forgiven. Allah ta'ala had planned it such that this person on his way, he had not as yet sat in the company of those pious people. He has not as yet reformed himself. But he has made that intention to change his life. He was on a journey to go to that place. And en route, Allah Ta'ala takes his life away, he passes away. Now the Malaika of Rahmah and the Malaika of Azab both descend upon him. The Malaika of Rahmah says that this person was on his way to perform Tawbah, to rectify himself, to sit in the company of those who are pious. The Malaika of Azab is saying that but this person did not change, did not as yet rectify himself. And he had killed 100 people. He should be punished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends another malaika in the form of a man. And he goes to these two malaika and he tells them, or he inquires from them that what is taking place. So they present their case in front of him. And thereafter, he advises them that measure the distances between the two lands. The land where he committed the crimes and the land where he had intended, the good place and the bad place. Measure the distances between the two places. If he is closer to that place where he had committed the crimes, then the angel of azab, the angel of punishment, should take his body. But if he is closer to that place where he had intended to change his life, then the angel of rahmah should take his body. And after measuring the distances, it was found that a very, very short span, he was closer to the place where he wanted to change his life. And just by him going towards the good place, leaving the place of evil, and going towards the good place, making an intention to change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his maghfirat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. So friends and elders, we find that just by a person selecting and choosing the correct environment, there is no harm if a person takes a break, but it must not come at the expense of his deen, at the expense of his Islam, at the expense of Shariat. Friends and elders, we have reached the end of this year, and we find that it is the norm that when any milestone passes by a person, then insan uses it as an opportunity to celebrate. Be it an anniversary, be it a birthday, be it the new year that is coming, insan uses the passage of time to celebrate and rejoice. وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ. But friends and elders, let us understand that we are using this time that passing by to celebrate. But let us know well and understand that every day that is passing is taking a person closer towards his destination. And that is the qabr. This year 2022 now is leaving us. It is not an opportunity to celebrate. It is not a moment to celebrate. But rather it is a time for us to reflect that this year has passed. What have I achieved from it? The next year is coming. What is my goals and objectives? Am I going to learn from my mistakes that have taken place? وَكُلَّ يُوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ نُجَدِّدْ سُرُورًا بِالْهِلَالِ إِذَا بَدَى. A person expresses happiness by the moon, by the passage of time, by the passing of time when it comes about. He expresses happiness. But rather, friends and elders, it is not a moment to rejoice and celebrate. But this is in reality a sword that is cutting away at the moments and days and time of a person's life. A person's life is coming shorter and shorter and shorter. And friends and elders, we know well, and we are well aware of the challenges that you are facing. 2020 had its challenges. 2021 has its challenges. 2022 also had its challenges with the floods, etc. And in this country we are living, we are in a very, very difficult, in a time of political uncertainty. Friends and elders, let us use all these opportunities, this time that is passing by, to reflect and ponder also, that let us turn closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with the passage of time, let us turn closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away. Stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? فَإِنَّ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ حَلَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ. Why? With the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes lawful. I leave you with the advice that Luqman the wise had given his son. And he tells him that لِيَكُونِ الْجَرَاءَتُكَ عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ عَلَى النَّارِ. That they let your going towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be to that extent that you can bear and tolerate the punishment and the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us all. May Allah save us all. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us in whatever difficulty a person is going through. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.